live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, it's Sunday. It is indeed time to talk about ghosts with me, Kevin Eustace, just like that intro says, every single week. Anyway, a very special episode this week, because we actually have a guest on the show. Yes, we do. We recorded this midweek. Now, our special, very special guest is Liverpool native and West End star, Ethna Brown. Now, Ethna is a Liverpool native, as I say. She had a very successful run in the West End, playing one of the lead roles in Blood Brothers, which is a Willie Russell play. And she went then on to soap stardom. She was in Brookside, Brookside, Emmerdale, and she's about to go into Coronation Street. She's a bit of a soap legend. She's done all bar EastEnders, but I'm sure it'll come. Anyway, how we met Ethna was, you know, when me and Becca were delivering those food parcels a while back. Well, the guy who runs that charity, he held like a thank you meal for everyone who'd done it. And Ethna was there. We started talking about ghosts, and she then let slip, well, do you know that the flat I lived in Liverpool city centre, on an old street named Hope Street, was very haunted, poltergeist the lot. We were like, no, but do tell us more. And she started to tell us, and we were like, well, hold on, stop telling us. Can you come to the flat and tell us for an episode? And she was like, yeah, I can do that. So that's what we've done. So this episode and Wednesday's episode will be us, me and Becca, and Ethna Brown talking about her haunted flat. Now, this episode will be focused mainly on the flat, and Wednesdays, we don't need to talk about ghosts. Still will be rather spooky, but it's a conversation with Ethna as well. And both episodes were brilliant. Really want to thank Ethna for taking the time out of her very, very busy schedule to pop along to our little flat, which she doesn't think's haunted, by the way. How dare she? And tell us all about her ghosties, which was wonderful. Beautiful lady, inside and out. Very nice to meet her. Also, I will say that for our lucky, lucky Patreons, Ethna being a Liverpool celebrity, she has actually got to meet, sit down and have readings with two of Liverpool's famous psychics / mediums. One, none other than the infamous Derek Acora. Derek, now deceased, of course. He was big on Most Haunted. If you've ever watched Most Haunted, he was the psychic medium from the first few, well, I think the first 10 series or seasons. And Ethna tells us all about the reading that she had off Derek Acora, and also the reading she had off Billy Roberts, another very famous Liverpool medium who's been on a few American shows, I believe. Well, anyway, she tells us all about that in the Patreon. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you will be loving listening to that because it's quite interesting. We do get into good chats about it. In the meantime, if you're not, but you would like to be, then you need to go along to www.patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts, or click the link in the description of the podcast and you can go sign up and join in all of the party over there. Anyway, without further ado, I give you the inimitable Ms. Ethna Brown. So I thought we'd start officially. Hello, everyone. Welcome again to We Need to Talk About Ghosts. As mentioned on last week's show, we have a very, very special guest. We have the wonderful Ethna Brown with us. And I didn't reveal her name last time because I wanted to be a bit of a surprise. But she's done, I mean, we'll speak to Ethna now and we'll go over everything she's actually accomplished, which is loads. And she's done the trifecta now of British soaps, haven't you? So you've done Brookside, mm-hmm. Coronation Street, Emmerdale. Mm. I think it's only EastEnders that you need to get yourself on, isn't it now?
Yeah. I always wanted, when I was doing Brookside, I always wanted, like, Sheila Grant, Chrissy Rogers, who I played on Brookside, and say another character, to just be in the back of shot in that pub on EastEnders, I think. You know, yeah, the way we used to have London away days. Yeah, we used to have those away days, didn't you?
The, you know.
And I just think, wouldn't it be great if the three of us were just in the back of the shop at the Queen Vic with a load of shopping bags?
So you're going on back onto Corrie, aren't you? Onto Coronation Street?
This is the first time I've been on it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No. This is the first time I've been on it. And it's funny that we're here to talk about ghosts because I did go for an audition for Coronation Street and it was to be Les Dennis's wife.
Oh, really?
But I knew before I got there, even though it was a good audition, that I wasn't going to get it.
Just a sign or a knowing?
Because I bumped into Derek Acora,
No.
I bumped into Derek on Cora on the before I went in. He was filming there. I was like, all right, Ethna, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going for an audition in Coronation Street. Yeah. Derek, yeah. And he just looked at me and his eyes went up to heaven for a moment. And I went, right. Oh, okay. I remember, well, I'm not getting that then. No. It was like one of those where he just had a little listen to his voices.
Yeah, to Sam.
Sam was like that. Nah, she's not. No, that was funny. But I'm just going into it. It's one episode, fingers crossed. Four more, because I had a really lovely time when I was there. And I'm the mother of the prostitute.
Things are looking up.
Who is a gorgeous girl? I never actually had a scene with her, but our paths crossed as I was leaving and she was coming in. And she was so lovely. Oh, I hope they bring you back. And she was. And she texted me. She texted me that night, you know.
Did she really? Who was the... Because I've lost track of it now. We never watched it. I used to watch it with my dad all the time because my sister is a soap addict.
Yeah.
But since we've lived together, I've stopped watching them.
Yeah. Vicky and Dan.
Right.
Dan is Mr. Barlow's son, I think, and his wife died and left him with a young baby, and he pays my daughter to dress up in his wife's clothes.
Wow!
Yeah,
Ken Barlow's son.
Yeah.
Interesting. And obviously, you initially because we met Ethna just for the interest of some backstory. What we used to do, when me and Becca worked, when we volunteered for Kind, delivering food parcels and stuff, the guys know about that because we'd sometimes record episodes in the car and normally have a fight.
Yeah, as we were delivering.
But the guy who runs it, Steve, and he ran a charity thank you, didn't he, sort of event. Mm. And Ethna came and gave a few performances from the likes of Shirley Valentine, is it?
Yeah.
And he also wrote an amazing poem as well. And I was like saying to Becca, well, when you got up, I said, I know we're from Brookside. As you do. And then we got talking towards the end of the night because Stephen bought a load of copies of the book as well.
He did, yeah. He has a signing, didn't he?
And he had a signing, which was dead awkward. Some of it. But anyway, but then we got talking to Ethna at the end of the night. And Ethna then said she's got some history with the old supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go into that, we found out on that night that you've also got a lot of, you found you found you... foot in the door with Broadway sort of stuff, didn't it? It was Blood Brothers.
It was the very first time Blood Brothers sort of hit a major stage. It had been done as, a youth theatre play first. And then, so this was the very first time it was up and running from the Playhouse. Mm-hmm. Barbara Dixon was the lead.
Yeah.
Andrew Schofield, who lots of people know from Liverpool, wonderful Andrew Schofield, worked with loads since, thank goodness. Another really good friend of mine was also in that, Davey Edge. He's a wonderful musician and also appeared with him on stage a few times. So there were lots of wonderful people in that. And that was the very first time I'd actually been on stage professionally anywhere.
Oh, wow. Right. Who did you play?
I was in the chorus and then, one night when Barbara wasn't well enough to go on stage, I had to go on in her place. But then she wasn't well at all, and so I did over 50 shows.
Amazing.
In the West End. That was the first job.
It's not bad for a first proper rock and roll, is it?
What was her role?
She was Mrs. Johnson.
She was
the mother of the twins.
Talk about the deep end then, Mrs. Johnson.
Oh, she was the lead, yeah.
Wow.
That's the lead role as well.
Yeah, it is really.
I mean, you know what I said to Becca though? Interestingly, I've seen Blood Brothers kind of piecemeal.
Mm.
So I went to one showing of it in the Empire.
Mm.
And Dean Sullivan, Jimmy Corkle. Is it Dean Sullivan? Well, whoever played Jimmy Corkle in Brookside, he was the narrator at the one in the Empire. And I just couldn't get my head around it because
You were quite young, weren't you?
Yeah, I was about... I'm 41 now. I was about maybe 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, too old for theatre at that point.
Yeah,
anyway,
talking
really.
About 20, yeah. 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember I couldn't get my head around that it was Jimmy Corkle doing the voice. I was in pleats. So, because he was walking around the set, you know, like in an upper tier, and looking down whilst they were paused, and he was like, two brothers from different, and I was like, it's Jimmy Corkle, and I couldn't stop laughing, and I was like, I can't take it serious.
Yeah.
And also, I just wanted to go out on the ale, as you do. So I think we left halfway through to go on the piss. And then, I caught the second half because I arrived late for another show, and we decided to go for a drink prior and didn't realise we missed half of the performance.
Yeah.
So I have seen it, but with two completely different casts.
So who are the Mrs. Johnsons? Can you remember?
No,
no, of course
no.
Not. No. What did she have to do with anything?
Yeah. Jimmy Corden.
She was only, but she was only the... Well, another strange, again, Blood Brothers connection, because once it was played by Kiki Dee.
Really?
Yeah.
As in, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Kiki
Dee. Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Kiki Dee. Now, I was asked by a Liverpool medium that a lot of people might follow, called Billy Roberts.
I know Billy Roberts. Yeah. Got a book of it over there.
Yeah. Well, Billy Roberts asked me to speak, at his wedding. Mm. And then I was invited along to the do afterwards at I think it was the Hillbark Hotel, and it was all terribly posh and gorgeous and stuff. And very nice, happy, friendly day. And Kiki Dee and her guitarist were the after-show entertainment, as it were.
Really?
So we were all there, and she was getting everybody to sing, and it was How Sweet It Is To Be Loved By You. That was it. So it's like, I remember the song. And she just walked towards me, and I wasn't bellowing or doing Listen To Me or anything like that. She just walked towards me, pointed at me, picked my hand and said, come sing with me. And she said Billy had told me that another Mrs. Johnson was one of the guests. And I was doing a reading at the wedding. She said, I just heard your voice. It was clean, clear. I just heard Mrs. Johnson. And so I ended up getting up and singing with Kiki.
Oh, amazing.
I can do harmonies and stuff like that with her, So I just sang with Kiki Dee. But that was another odd Mrs. Johnson twist.
Yeah. I love Mrs. J's together. So I just sang with Kiki Dee.
But isn't that random?
Yeah.
Absolutely random.
Because, I'll be perfectly honest. If you had to say, what would even be the odds of two people being in the same city who've played Mrs. Johnson?
Yeah.
On stage in Blood Brothers, you'd say minuscule, wouldn't you? Yeah. Let alone being at the same wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And now we've got to brag because Ethna Brown's read our books.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I have.
So that's one for...
I know, yeah.
Saved it. I'll be telling everyone that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be passing it on to her friends. Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I like that.
Let's get into the crux of things. When we did start chatting during that charity night, you informed us, which has led to this very meeting, that... You had an apartment on Hope Street, one of Liverpool's oldest streets, and you experienced some spooky shenanigans.
Oh, God, yeah, truly. Oh,
so
sorry, should I have said God?
Is yours?
Well, no, I was living, I've always sort of lived around Sefton Park, Lark Lane area since my son and I sort of moved away from the family home. And when I knew I was going to have to leave the flat I lived in, I've been there for about 13 odd years, really, really well settled, loved it.
Yeah.
Hated having to leave it, but I had to leave.
Where was that one?
That was on Sefton Drive, off Ullett Road. Really happy. Again, I'm like you too. I like space in front of me. I like air and light and what have you. So I've always lived on top floor flats and always felt safe up there and happy seeing chimneys and tiles and blue skies. So this is the first time since I used to live on Bedford Street that I'd lived on the ground floor. Went to look at the flat, and to be honest, I thought, this is it, a flat on Hope Street. I was in my 50s, I thought, this will do me.
Yeah.
I can walk to, I was doing a lot of work at the Royal Court in Liverpool at the time, I can walk to work, I can just walk along to the quarter and sit outside, and this is where I belong, I felt really,
Because it's gorgeous up there.
It's beautiful.
It is lovely. Yeah. Well, I used to live on Bedford Street, when I was first away from home, and I did love that area, the Georgian Quarter felt like home to me. So this, I'd been doing quite a lot of work at the Royal Court, so there were a few pennies in the bank, and I thought, right, and I went into the flat and I had it all painted and gave a couple of lads a few jobs, can you do this, can you do that, little, shelves. And I won't say fitted wardrobe, that sounds posh, but, it was a walk-in cupboard that, I've got. But I made it feel like home, to me, and it was quite odd. It was the front room was a bedroom, the back room, the big room, was the living room, big old fireplace in there. And then you walk through, and there was sort of like an outrigger on the ground floor for your bathroom.
Right.
Long little walk through kitchen, long corridor, just to give you an idea of the shape of the place. And I'd not been there that long. I was all the fun of moving in, and also I was working during the day and on stage of a night rehearsing, working, you know, so it's like doing shift work, and I was hardly there to begin with. And then when I spent more time there, I began to notice various things. I began to feel very uncomfortable. The things that I could put my finger on that happened that weren't usual, things fell off the wall, and one, a big mirror, fell off the wall and split my head open.
Split your head open?
Oh, yeah, the front of my head. It just hit, just came off the wall and hit me there. I wasn't moving it. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't shoving anything or banging about or anything like that. Other things that would happen, I opened a cupboard door and a bowl, favourite bowl, shot out and smashed itself on the floor. It was all confined to one area, which was the back room, the back of the flat. Front room, peaceful blue gorgeousness, looked out onto the cathedral.
Yeah.
And I ended up, without realising it, spending most of my time in the bedroom.
Right, yeah.
Oh, in the bedroom? In the flat, yeah. Oh, sorry.
The front of it. So the back room, it was very dark. It was quite dark. It was a gorgeous little garden that I had steps onto, you know, a little yard and sort of thing. It had everything going for it. And more and more and more, I began to feel I'm not wanted here.
Well, what would you say was the sort of... Was there a time when you think that you recall as being the first moment, or was it more like an overarching sort of...
It was more of an overarching coming in and going into the back of the flat. It all seemed to be spaced in the back of the flat. I had a friend who came to rehearse with me one day, youngish man, and he walked in through the door to the back living room, dark, and he went, oh, what was that? Didn't like that. Oh,
really?
And he just said, it was like walking through ice.
Really?
And there was an area where that's what happened. It was, you sort of felt it's there, it comes from there. If I ever had to stay in that room, the living room, when I had a friend staying in, I'd give them my bedroom.
Right.
If I ever stayed there, you know, slept on the couch sort of thing, I'd have the most terrible nightmares about dropping babies, about things dying, about... Really?
That's quite a specific nightmare, though, isn't it?
I remember it was from the... It was from a school roof, and I was dropping this baby, and it was all horrible. The feeling I eventually got to feel was this... feeling around me was female.
Right.
It was spiteful. I would have swear words in my head.
Made you angry or made you...
No,
what, just
no,
made
I
you
was just
to...
like, what? Oh, hang on.
Oh,
no.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was like something would sort of, your thoughts would be.
Yeah.
You know, you think, what? Oh,
that's
I don't,
not me.
That's not me, that's not me. Once I came in, I'd had a lovely walk around the pierhead. I'd walked back up. Sunday evening, really cool, lovely. Walked in and something pushed me.
Physically pushed you?
Physically pushed me. Other things
in the back or the front?
Yeah, in the back. In the back. As I'm walking in, I got pushed out. Through my front door, I got pushed.
Wow.
Like as if you just wanted you back out
again.
Pushed me in.
Oh,
it
right.
Pushed me in. The in and out thing, when it became... I had to move out twice because of the damp problem that they had to keep coming back and sorting out.
Right.
And there was once I moved into a flat... back up again in the sort of Sefton Park area. I was told I would have to move out for a month.
Yeah, from Hope Street.
I would have to move out from Hope Street. So I moved into this other flat. I was there for a month. It was on the top floor. It was white, clean, calm, quiet.
Yeah.
I said goodbye to my dad while I was living there. I'm really glad. No, it was a peaceful, happy...
Yeah,
yeah.
Right time.
So it was nice, and I could walk around the park and think about him and stuff. And then... I had to move back to Hope Street, and about 4 days after, I remember feeling, and it just came back down again, like a really lowering feeling.
And there was nothing, I mean, without trying to be overly personal, there was nothing that would add to that, i.e., like, this is quite personal, but I mean, like, for example, that, what you just described there, we say there was this then feeling of... to come back onto you. I get that sometimes with, for example, financial worries. Like, for argument's sake, we're dealing with an electricity company now, and they're a nightmare, and I thought it was all put to bed, and then and was feeling relatively good about the situation. Then the other day we realised that it's not, and we still need to sort out, and I felt that sort of blanket of misery come back on me. Was there nothing like that, a financial situation, a relationship or something, that could have added to it So I'm trying to basically say...
I know.
Oh, is it just the building, basically?
It is. It was the building, because I would say to people, as I'll say to you, have you, to my friends, when I'd be talking about it, have you ever heard me talk like this before? About anywhere? Mm. About anything? They're going, no. Why would I suddenly start making... I don't need it. I'm not like an attention seeker. I get loads. I walk out onto stage and it's like, you're looking at me. That's fantastic. And you paid to look at me. So I'm not somebody who goes about going, oh, well, I had... That happened to... You know, wasn't that at all. And in fact, the opposite. I really would play things down. One of the worst things that happened was... I had a neighbour living upstairs who could be quite problematic, although I tried to keep a good relationship, and he'd had somebody come and stay, and then there was lots of screaming and shouting from them upstairs, and I opened the hall doorway and bags coming down the stairs. Yeah. Obviously a bit of a dispute going on. Yeah. And I said to this person, could you just please keep it down? You know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's like I was lifted up, she got hold of me and threw me down the stairs.
The guy did?
No, the woman.
The woman did, really?
Absolutely true. And the woman did, and I'm thinking...
Oh, people disco, God.
I know, but the odd thing was, I'd been on stage that night, and I was on stage the next night telling ghost stories in the beautiful concert room in St George's Hall, Charles Dickens stories.
Yeah.
So it was all of that, and all I could think of bouncing down the steps was, oh, who will they get to replace me? I really thought, you're sort of calm, don't you, when something
you do,
happens?
Yeah, I agree.
So I was just thinking, who will they, oh, poor Jen, who will they get to replace me? And it was when a very good friend of mine pointed out, because another time, it all seemed to start getting worse and worse and worse. I went to go in one afternoon, about a week earlier, I couldn't get in. The key just wouldn't work. And there was no reason why I couldn't make the front door. Front door just would not work into the whole building. And then, somebody had to come out and, try the key, give me another key. It was actually like, I have no idea why it's suddenly gone like this. There'd be a problem with the lock when there hasn't been before. And as a friend pointed out, it doesn't want you in the building. It's now throwing you out. When will you... So, we talked about Billy Roberts.
Yeah.
He came to visit. He came to visit as a friend.
Just to interject, for those who don't know, because there's a lot of listeners in the States, Billy Roberts is a very, very well-known Liverpool medium.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of celebrity clients. He's an exceptionally... and he's not very razzmatazz with it. He's a bit of showbiz, but he's not like, your Zach Bagan sort of people, or he's less flamboyant than Derek Acora.
Very much so. Yeah.
So he's not really like showbizy in himself.
This is to come back, because I viewed him and his wife as friends.
Yeah.
So they came around to visit me, and I think he saw a woman, and he went to me, it's not the woman you're thinking about. And I hadn't said anything, because I always felt this presence.
Yeah.
He said she's in her own time. She's very happy to be there. He could just feel it. It's like there were different veils of time.
Oh, so he could feel like a...
He could see
a nice person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she was, very, very well-dressed. And
she's
in her own time, and she's very happy to be there. And then also another friend who'd come, a male friend.
Yeah.
Very, worked for the council. We're not talking anything,
show busy
at all. And he said, I just thought I saw something in the kitchen. And I was like, what was that? He said... Well, I turned around, there was something on the floor behind me. I thought it was a dog, and then when I turned back, it had gone. And I thought, what was it like? I said, it was something small and spiteful.
Small and spiteful?
And I went, that's exactly how it felt. Something small and spiteful. The most pathetic, nasty little things used to happen to you. Really, things would get... You'd rip something. It's all of that.
But this is an interesting one, because, there was a story once, funny enough, tying in with, theatre and things like that.
Mm.
I once, a very, very brief synopsis, because I think the listeners know this and you know this story, but I once was asked to go and read for a part in a some sort of play somewhere. And it was a part of an army major, and I was like 17 or 16. But at 16, I had a bowl head and John Lennon glasses and was thin as a rake. And I just had a deep voice at the time. So when I turned up for the Sergeant Major role in the Egg Cafe, it was on the Egg. Cafe Tabac at the top of Bowl Street there. And I go in and we sit down, and it was like a different sort of cafe then. It's a bit bohemian now and quite trendy. It was like, they get free cups of tea out of the homes and stuff like that then. And we were all sat around in this group. Long story short, the guy who's wrote the play, Mark, he's introducing everyone around the circle, and he says, and Steve does the music, and he gestures to the left of me. And there's a fella to the left of me, so I like nod. We carry on then, because I'm obviously into it. When we've done the play sort of stuff, I say, does anyone believe in ghosts? We start talking about ghosts, getting all spooky. And then we leave, and they're all from Kirby, so they all go one way towards Central. And I was the only one from Highton, so I said, no, I'm going to Lime Street. And this Steve fella came out. He hadn't said a word all night. He came out, he went, you from Highton? He said, I'm from Bluebell. He said, do you want a lift? I went, yeah, go on then. So we get in his car, and he says, so do you believe in ghosts and all that? I said, yeah, I love it. And he says, right. And he's umming and ahhing whether he should tell me this thing. And he says, right, well, he says, see, I went to Glastonbury with the kids, he said, and I was filming the kids on my camera. He said, and one of the kids noticed there was people moving around the tour. They could see it, which is like a hill in Glastonbury. And they could see like these little white figures. He said, so I started filming them and zoomed in and then just went back to the kids. He said, and when I played the tape back, when I got home, he said, the moment I zoom in, the tape on the screen flips upside down, it's black and white, and it's a video of us holding the camera. He said, and I was like, that's amazing. He says, yeah. So then he says, since then, he said, all these things have started happening. He said, we've had an envelope arriving through the front door just with fingernails in it. He said, we've had a message saying...
It's grim.
Yeah, we've had a message saying, you don't know what you've seen, you've interrupted something you shouldn't. He said, my daughter's seen a white figure in her room, I've had a bolt of lightning come through the window, all this stuff. And he's getting more and more het up as he's talking, to the point where I'm starting to freak out. And he's then and all this, up to this point, I'm like, this is all paranormal, this is dead weird. But then he starts saying things like, and there's a point to this story, so he starts saying things like, and you know, then you'd be driving along, and the registration in front of you would be the initials of your arch nemesis, you know, and it'd be doing it just to wind you up. And I'm starting to think, that's not paranormal, mate, that's paranoia. And then he started to go down the paranoia route.
Yeah.
To the point where I said, on Highton Lane, before we actually got to my house, I said, I'll get out here. And he pulled over the car, stopped the engine, and turned to me and was like, you're not going to tell anyone, are you? Because I wouldn't like it to pass on to them. And I was like, no, I promise.
Does that mean he's passed it on to you?
Allegedly. So I then got out of the car and I ran home saying the Hail Mary. I was that terrified.
I used prayers.
Yeah, honestly, But my point of it being, the point of that whole story was...
You know you're not the special guest.
I know, yeah. I realised halfway through you look at me and say, come on.
Not used to sharing this microphone.
I like this. Go on.
When you were just about to say, then the most petty things would start to happen.
Oh, yes.
Like you'd rip jeans or you'd rip clothes or whatever. Do you think that was down to this, or could it have been one of those situations where anything that went wrong, you would then tag on this?
No, because I was in a place where I was happy.
Yeah.
Financially, everything was okay. My son and I, marvellous. You know, he'd come and stay at the flat and, you know, enjoy the ambience there and be able to visit his mates who live in the area. So I wasn't looking for anything.
Right.
And I was working really hard as well. I was tired. You know, I could sometimes be tired and it'd be like, oh, no. I used to have singing bells. And I used
Tibetan.
To like... Tibetan singing bell. So I used to like to bing my singing bell. I was living on my own. Bing my singing bell. This is before I moved there. And I'd just like go through the people I love and think about and just wish them well. And that'd be a nice, peaceful thing at the end of the night. And then, you know, right at top. Just that little thing. I'm not religious. Although, you know, I was brought up Catholic, you know.
Yeah.
One of seven children.
Yeah.
And I didn't follow a religion. I like places, I'm drawn to places that have
spiritual sort of places.
Yeah, yeah. Spiritual, that's how I'd put it. So I would have all of this, that whole thing disappeared in Hope Street.
Really?
I just felt like if I'd pick the bowl up, it like put me down. I don't want this.
I mean, when you said about your friend seeing something, said, oh, it's spiky and spiteful.
Small.
It's interesting to look at something and say that's spiteful, that must be a feeling, because you can't see spiteful.
You can't see spite, can you?
It's like snarling. It's not a visual, is it?
No,
it's
not at all.
Spiteful. So, and given that that's exactly what you'd
conclude
yourself as well. Yeah, yourself.
So we said that that's how it felt. I've never lived in a place before. I was only there for 18 months. I had to leave.
Yeah.
And I'd put a fair amount of money into doing it up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Me walk-in cupboard. To this day, I miss it. So it was never... I've not been a casual flitty person. Wherever I've lived for, you know, like 13 years or 7 years or whatever.
Put down roots,
yeah. So that's, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like when... The way I left, how I left, because after the throwing down the stairs business, and then the house began to get more and more uncomfortable to live in, and the flat was like, the people I'd gone to stay with when all the damp work was being done, I had to move out twice. I stayed in the Adelphi for a week, another fortnight. Yeah, I had to stay in the Adelphi. And it was things, who else has found slugs in their bathroom? And it was when I found a worm, and I just thought,
my God.
Oh no, yeah. This is just... And it was freezing. It was one of the coldest places I've ever lived.
Really?
You would be like, you know, if you had to go through, because you'd have to walk from the bedroom at the front right the way to the bathroom right at the back of this outlet.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, dear. No, no. And also, that I would have to pass through that room.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you said that.
It was a beautiful room, you know. It had a beautiful painted ceiling.
Yeah.
All the lovely features were still there, a massive big fireplace. It was plants and stuff, and it was, you know, candles and...
It
what you wanted.
I mean,
it was a,
I
you
love
know,
those buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I've always been happier, and I've never lived anywhere modern.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not even as though it's like, oh, it's an old building. I felt a bit. Always loved the ancient, and it would be, as I came into the flat, if I had to go through into that room, I'd do that. I'd turn my head away and switch the light on first.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Like a child.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like a kid going up the stairs. Oh, I can't go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in my 50s.
That's interesting. And you've never had anything like that previous, like in places you've lived?
Not in places I've lived, no. No, I hadn't at all.
Isn't that interesting? And it's what the key thing that really jumps out is it's two things. One, you say it's a woman. And it's those dreams for me. They're quite specific, aren't they? They're not like you're not saying I had nightmares. You're saying I had specific nightmares about dropping a child.
Oh, yeah.
Off a roof.
Yeah.
So it makes you think... You know, and also, just to ask, because you used to live on Rodney Street, didn't you? Well, on Pilgrim Street.
Yeah.
And your flat was in the back, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, so the entrance should have been on Pilgrim Street, but they started building something there, so the entrance, you had to go through the back, through the flat on Rodney Street.
Yeah.
But your Pilgrim Street flat was, we equated it to, it would have been the servants' quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it had, like, a little maisonette, you know, to there. I'm just wondering, was that a similar, could that have been a servants' place originally? Or...
Downstairs, there was, that's where the kitchen was, and
yeah.
Know, that was all still open, the basement, that's where all the damp came from.
Really?
That's where she was.
Was there nothing in the basement?
Yeah, there was things stored down there, you
right.
know.
Oh, there was, I've got a chill thinking about the basement. Oh,
oh yeah, no, the guy, and you could also get into the garden from the basement as well. You know, the people who lived on the top floor and the guy who lived on the floor above me, they would go down to the basement if they wanted to get into the garden area, the back,
yeah.
to do stuff, you know. And things were stored there, you know. But
can I just ask, where on Hope Street, you don't have to give us the number, I may ask for that off air, but because we know that area, I'm just wondering...
Yeah. For listeners who don't know, Hope Street is this really nice street in the Georgian
Quarter,
but it's
yeah.
actually bookended by both the cathedrals in Liverpool. So at
yeah.
one end, you've
yeah.
got the Anglican, you literally walk down Hope Street, no other street, and you hit the
Catholic
cathedral.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's really interesting.
If you have Parliament Street behind you, and the Anglican Cathedral on your left, as you walk up Hope Street, the beginning of Hope Street,
yeah,
I was in that first block there. Before you hit Husky.
On the right, opposite the arts.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. On the right, opposite the... opposite the graveyard. no, which I think St. James's Gardens.
Okay.
So my
yes.
flat was
yeah.
on St. James's Gardens.
Yeah.
So, you know, Parley down that way.
Yeah.
Tocky Library there.
Yeah.
You see, look, I just, you know, I could walk over to Toxteth Library, change my books. And
yeah.
The people in the shops were mates. I had, for the first time in ages, because when you live in big old houses... You don't often see neighbours. You don't see people, you know, because
yeah.
everybody's moving at different times. Once when I was living in Sefton Drive, the doorbell went, and there was a guy, and you standing in front of me with a parcel. I went, my God, what are you doing here? He went, I live next door. And I went, how long have you lived there? He went, 2 years. So this was, before I'd even gone into the flat, there was a lovely woman, lived two doors along. She saw me looking over the railings. What are you... Do you want to come in? Come and have a cup of coffee, love. And then next door to her, next door to me, there was an old chap, Brian, who used to give me his parking permits, you know.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, wonderful, wonderful people, lovely ladies, and come in for a cup of coffee. I had neighbours. I wanted to be there.
I really wanted to be there. Yeah. Because when you first spoke about moving in, it was all really positive. You know, you were looking forward to it. You loved it. You were decorating it. You were excited about it. It was perfect for work, perfect sort of location. Loved it. But then when you spoke about moving away for a month while the like, looks at the damp, you said, and then I had to move back. And it's just really at that twist, you know, how that changed. I had to move back. You were so positive about going into it in the first place. And that's a real negative. That was, I had to go back.
I had to go back because that was the second time. And the thing being, when I knew I sort of had to leave after I'd been thrown out down the front steps, bounced down the steps of Hope Street sort of thing, that's when I thought, no, this house, the chaos and everything now, it's not worth it anymore. I'm never at rest. I'm never calm. I'm never... and I felt like I was carrying something with me.
Really?
You know, when I left. That's not a nice feeling, is
it? That's not a nice feeling. I mean, I'm amazed by it, and I love that feeling on someone else. Yeah. Because it makes me very interested.
If I was carrying something nice with me.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I've got the feeling about my mum around me or something like that. I'm very open to thinking, oh, lovely, you know. I was having quite a serious operation. I was in the women's, and just before I turned over the night before the operation, I just felt my mum. And I don't know whether people believe me or not. That doesn't matter to me.
That's how I felt.
So that was lovely.
That's important in the slightest, whether you believe.
So it's just like, I know the feeling of warmth and, you know, all of that.
Oh, that's good point. Yeah, so you've got something to compare it to, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was like...
So also, you know, I'm just thinking as well, it may not... But I'm pretty sure, I don't know whether it's just... Anyway... The St. James's Gardens,
where we've done a Halloween special, we've done a recording in there.
Respectful one, but recording there. Mm. But anyway, some of those apartments have tunnels underneath that go to the graveyard because they were sold on the premise that, you know, that was part of the deal.
You can
walk underneath to your family crypt.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if that could be one of them.
Also the Black Magic Societies that were around there at the time.
What?
Oh, yeah. Have a little look into that. Yeah.
Really?
Well, if you think about it. Well, no, when you think about it, you know, the Victorians, they had a real interest, didn't they, in the supernatural.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, that's when your tables with your lovely, you know, tablecloths and things starting to move and stuff like that. And seances and stuff like that. They sort of happened then. So I always had the feeling it was something left over from something else. I don't know.
So someone's called something in sort of thing, maybe.
And I got landed with it. She didn't like me.
Yeah.
She didn't like me, and it was as simple as that. And I'd be like, oh, can I leave off?
Yeah. Did you feel like it was personal? Did you feel like it was you? Like, that she might be all right with someone else, but she just...
She didn't like women much.
Right, okay.
There's another beautiful actress I've worked with who's full of joy, joy, joy. You know, she's... Yeah. We did Brick Up the Tunnels together, and she came in, and she was somebody else who... She was just walking through, oh, how's that happened? And all of a sudden, she's caught and there's a rip, and it was like, and she gave me a beautiful angel.
Yeah.
That sat in my mantle piece. That flew off.
Really?
It really, literally did fall off. I didn't push it. It wasn't balancing. It wasn't a tiny little wobbly bit of wood.
Yeah.
It fell off and it broke.
So there you go, guys. That's part one of our interview with Ethna Brown, the wonderful Ethna Brown. Part two will be on our Wednesdays. We don't need to talk about ghosts because although we finish off Ethna's tale, there's a bit more like, you know, how are you sort of conversations. Anyway, I think it's very scary. It's a good, authentic tale from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Not calling her a horse. She'd batter me. So there you go. So our patrons, of course, can now go over to Patreon and listen to Ethna describe her spiritual reading she had with none other than celebrity medium Derek Acora and Billy Roberts. And it's fascinating. If you're not a patron, but you want to be, go to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts or click the link in the description and go sign up. In the meantime, and in between time, guys, tatty bye, take care, and I will speak to you for part due on Wednesday. Okay, don't forget, if you've got a story that you want to send in during this week, send it to contact@weneedtotalkaboutghosts.com. And what I'll do, you see, I'll read them out, for that's what I do, and it's how the show works. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed this little one-off, and it will finish up on Wednesday. Okay, tatty bye all. Tatty bye.